Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence here and for your Holy Spirit. And I want to pray that you would speak through the Word of God to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would use the Word of God to change us. Make us more like Christ, O God. We give blessing to your name. We thank you that you will touch our hearts and open your word. Thank you, O God. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So let me begin just with a review of kind of what we've been talking about. We're in Matthew 10. We've been talking through the first 15 verses of Matthew 10, and we've spent a whole, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks, something like that, on this section now. Prior to chapter 10, Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so he's saying, there's this huge job and we got just a handful of people and we need more people to do the work. Pray for it. In chapter 10, what he then does is send out laborers into the harvest. It immediately follows. When he says that, what immediately follows is he then sends them out. He's preparing them for that. He's showing them the need for what he's getting ready to do in chapter 10. And so he sends them out. And as over the weeks, we have discussed various principles of ministry, because that's what Jesus is having he's having his disciples go out and do ministry. And he's giving them instructions on how to do ministry. And we've been discussing some of the principles concerning ministry over the past several weeks. And so just kind of as a review, we've talked about one in verse 1, know your authority. It says, then he called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority over every unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Know your authority. It comes from Christ. You have authority in Christ. We're actually going to talk more about that today as well. Second, comes from verses basically 5 and 6 roughly. Focus on who God's calling you to. Remember Jesus said, he instructed them and he said, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no village of the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, don't go here, do go here. And so that's a who focus. Then the next principle is no, focus on what the main task is. The main task is what he gives them in the next verses. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. The main focus is to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring healing and restoration to people. That's the main focus of ministry. Whatever it is you do, that's your main job. Then we talked from the next verses, starting in verse 9. Beware of money and stuff. Jesus said, acquire no silver nor gold nor copper in your belts. That's money. And then he said, and take no bag for your journeys, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff. That's stuff. And he's beware of that. Don't let that drive your ministry. And then the next principle flows from that, and that is to trust God in the process. Your story fits this very well. Don't worry about the money and the stuff. Trust God in the process. He'll take care of you. And then, last week, we talked about two more principles. Expect rejection. If anyone does not receive you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or town, he said. He said, as you enter a village, Find out who is worthy in it and stay there. And as you greet the house, if it is worthy, let your peace come up. But if it is not worthy, he's assuming that not everyone's going to just throw up their hands and praise God because of what you say. They're not. People are going to reject you. And they're going to reject you because you did what was right. And that's normal, expected. The second principle that we talked about from last week flows from the first one. If people are going to reject you, then what that means is you need to evaluate who you invest your time in. And we talked about that. We called it spiritual triage. And you have to do some spiritual triage in terms of who do you really invest the most of your time in. And Jesus talked about that. As you enter a town or a village, find out who is worthy in it and stay there. That's who he's saying invest your time in, the people who are worthy. If anyone is not worthy, you're going to shake the dust off your feet and move on. If anyone does not receive your message or listen to your words, move on. Don't waste your time. And so we talked about that last week, and you have to really be attuned to the Spirit of God to discern where is this person? Because sometimes you don't really know. And sometimes you got to spend time with people to find out where they are. So spend time with them, find out where they are, and then listen to the Holy Spirit concerning should I stay here or should I move on? And so this is part of you got this enormous job and these few resources. You don't want to spend these few resources on unresponsive people because there are all kinds of responsive people that are going to die because you were investing in all of these unresponsive people. And we talked last week, this is a principle, not a law. And so you want to think of it that way. There are exceptions and special cases, and we discussed that last week. Okay, that's all review. So today, this is our last day in this section. We're going to look at a couple more principles. So let's read it again. Matthew 10, 1 through 15. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And the names of his 12 apostles are these: Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no village of the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You have received freely, give freely. And acquire no gold nor silver nor copper in your belts, nor take a bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there. And as you greet the house, if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone does not receive you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for that town. Those are Jesus' instructions as he's sending out his disciples to do ministry. So, two new principles. First one is this. You represent Jesus Christ. You represent him. Look at verses 14 and 15. If anyone does not receive you or listen to your words, you shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or town. And then he says, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. If people reject you, they are rejecting Jesus Christ. You represent him. That's why it is more bearable. That's why the judgment is so severe that Jesus gives here. To reject the message of these disciples is to reject Jesus himself. And it is to incur a great judgment upon the person who rejects the message. If people listen to your words, assuming that you are proclaiming the kingdom of God faithfully, if they listen to your words, they're listening to the words of Christ. Not because you are Christ, but you are his representative. If they persecute you, they are persecuting Jesus. I think of Acts chapter 9, when Saul is converted. And he hears the voice, you remember? And says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? And it says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now, understand, Saul was persecuting the church, not Jesus personally. Jesus had died and risen. Jesus wasn't even physically around. And yet Jesus says, when Saul persecuted the church, Saul was persecuting Jesus himself. You have to see that as a believer. You represent Christ. What they do with you is what they are doing with Jesus. What that means is, we have authority. That comes from verse 1, right? When Jesus simply said he called his 12 disciples and gave them authority. But it also comes from verse 15. If they reject you, there is a great judgment that they are bringing upon themselves because you have authority. Guys, do not ever minimize the church and who you are and who we are in Jesus Christ and the authority and the power that we have in the spiritual realm. The church is the most powerful body on earth. And you may look around in this room and say, well, right. The church is the most powerful body on earth. Even if politically, we're nothing. Politically, we are nothing. We don't really have armies. We don't have tanks and guns and bombs. But we have spiritual authority. Life and death, eternal life, heaven and hell, all turn on what you do with Jesus. It turns on that one thing. Well, that's our message. That's the church is the, we are the people who have that message. And so to reject the message of the gospel is to reject God himself. To receive the message of the gospel is to receive God himself. Guys, people go to heaven or hell on the basis of what they do with the message of Jesus. Truly I say to you, it'll be more bearable for them on the day of judgment. Or it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for those towns that do not receive you, Jesus said. The stakes are high. When we proclaim the gospel, you need to understand the stakes are high. We sometimes don't see it that way because we don't see what is going on in the spiritual realm. We don't see eternity. We just see, you know, the guy you're meeting with at HEB and we're having lunch and talking about the Quran and the Bible. But we don't see the eternal stakes that are going on. And so we have, as the bearer of the message of the kingdom of God, we have a lot of responsibility. Do not apologize for the gospel. Jesus never tells them to do that. Go and proclaim it. Now, we may need to have wisdom in how we go about doing that, obviously. There may be times where share in increments, in steps, in so on. People aren't always ready. And sometimes you need to be wise in how to do that, but we're to do it. And we're to be bold. The church needs to be bold because of the authority that it has. I'm going to actually read to you an excerpt. I have sent this to some of you. This is a joint statement that was made by pastors in China just within less than a month ago. Those of you who've sent it, I've sent this to you, you may have already read this. If you know what's going on in China and concerning religion, you know that the government is really cracking down on religion in China, particularly since they implemented the new religious regulations in February. And so a bunch of pastors of unregistered churches in China have come together and they've issued a joint statement. I have the whole I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. But I am going to read a section of it to you. And so I'm not going to read where they talk about what the government is doing. If you want to read it later, I got it right here. You can read it. And they talk, and I got it in Chinese too. So Chinese, English. You can read whatever language you wish. And so they list some of the things that the government is doing. They then say this. Here's what they say. We believe that these unjust actions are an abuse of government power and have led to serious conflicts between political and religious parties in Chinese society. Just stop and pause for a moment. They are saying that to Xi Jinping. We believe that these unjust actions are an abuse of government power and have led to serious conflicts between political and religious parties in Chinese society. These actions infringe on the human freedoms of religion and conscience and violate the universal rule of law. We are obligated to announce bad news to the authorities and to all of society. God hates all attempts to suppress human souls and all acts of persecution against the Christian church and he will condemn and judge them with righteous judgment. Did you hear what they just said to the Chinese government? That's bold. They are saying that the way the government treats the church and the gospel will determine their eternal destiny. And they are saying that if they're going to continue this way, God is going to judge that government, and he's going to judge Chinese society, and he's going to do it with a righteous judgment. That sounds a lot like Jesus saying, "Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable for them on the day of judgment, or it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for that town." These pastors are calling down judgment on any man who rejects and opposes Jesus Christ. Now, in that area, you need to understand, they are the ones with authority. They're the church. They have the authority to do the very thing they just did. They have authority over Xi Jinping. If I were in China and said that, I'd be in a lot of trouble for saying that. But they just said it, and they are in China. See, he may throw them in prison. In fact, guys, don't be surprised if these pastors start disappearing. I mean, that takes a lot of courage. What they did is takes a ton of courage. And so the government may begin throwing them in prison. But in the spiritual realm, the government has zero authority. It does not have authority in that realm. In terms of heaven and hell, life and death, that's not the government's realm. That's the church's realm. Xi Jinping cannot execute eternal judgment. He doesn't have that power. God has that power. And he has relegated his message to the church. It's the church who represents Christ. And the church can proclaim things just like these pastors proclaimed to the government in China less than a month ago. And so how the government treats the church is going to determine how God treats the government. With you and me, how people treat the message of Christ when we bring it to them is going to determine how God treats them. They're going to receive the message or they're not going to receive the message. Now, these pastors, they understand their authority. They just used their authority. Actually, you can read on, and I didn't read all of that, but they talk with authority all throughout this document that they give. These pastors understand that they represent Jesus Christ. That's why they're so bold. If they didn't understand that, they would not be so bold. And these men are going to suffer for the stance that they just took. So, you and me, what do we face? These pastors know they can be bold because they represent Jesus Christ. So can you. You can be bold. Because you're not going to go to jail. No one's going to torture you. That's not going to happen here. Proclaim the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's what the gospel is. Proclaim it. It's the power of God. Don't back down. Share it with people. When we faithfully preach the gospel, we have the authority of Jesus Christ. It's his message, not ours. And this is an honor. It is an honor to represent Christ, the living God. It's an honor. Okay, that's the first principle. You represent Jesus. And so live that way. Minister that way. As if, don't minister if it's just you. You represent Christ. The second principle does not really come from any one verse or section in the whole verses 1 through 15. But it comes from the whole picture. And so what I want you to do now is just step back and look at the whole thing for a minute. And we've talked about this already, but Jesus is in he's about the business of training laborers for ministry. That's our job too. To train laborers. Listen, it's good to be a laborer. And we should. Jesus calls us to. But in the end, you'll actually do more for the kingdom of God by taking the next step and training laborers and not just being one. Training more people to be laborers for the kingdom of God. If you can reproduce yourself in other people, you expand the kingdom much more than if you just go out and simply do work. Now, to reproduce yourself, you still have to be a laborer. You still have to go and do the work. And that's Jesus just did that, right? We've been teaching through Matthew, and we've taught. In chapters 5 through 9, Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom of heaven in the Sermon on the Mount. And then he's also healing and bringing the authority of the kingdom of God to earth. He's cleansing lepers. He's healing the blind. He's healing Peter's mother-in-law. He's healing the paralyzed servant of the centurion, or the paralyzed man who's let down through the roof. Jesus is basically doing the work of the kingdom of God. He's a laborer. Then in chapter 10, he takes the next step, and he starts training other people to do what he just got done doing. Okay. One of the purposes of the church is to train laborers for the kingdom of God. That's what we do. Now, we do other things too, but that's one of the things that is the job of the church. We need to help you proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And we need to help you bring healing and restoration to people. That means the church, if the church's job is to prepare people to go out. You know, Ephesians 4, right? God gave these gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That's the purpose of the leadership of the church, is to equip the church to go do ministry. In other words, to train laborers. If that's the case, then church is not a place to just come and sit. That's not what church is about. At some point, you have to serve. Because one of the main points is to prepare you to go out. Guys, the gospel has to go to the nations. It has to go there. It just has to. We talked about the stakes already. What that means is if you are in Christ, you are part of that. So don't just sit back and watch others. Jump in. So, you know, you can lead worship. You can open on Sunday morning. You can share the scriptures. Read the scriptures during the week. Put them in your head. And then share with us what you're hearing from God. That helps us. You're helping train us when we hear what God's doing with you. It means talk about Jesus to your friends. Tell them about the Son of God who came to earth and died for them so that they can know God. It means love people. It means have them in your home. Get to know them. Be their friend. It may mean start a Bible study. It means bring laborers. Tell people your story with Jesus. You have a story with Jesus. Be free in sharing that. When Jesus calls for laborers, he's calling you. He's calling me. This isn't a call just for that's for those guys out there. Or this was just something he did a long time ago. It's not for today. No, this is actually how the kingdom of God spreads. And when he trains laborers and then calls people to follow him, Jesus said, follow me. Okay, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to do what he did. Well, he trained laborers. That means he's going to call you to do that as well, to train laborers. You say, I can't do this. Yes, you can. It's not as complicated as you think it is. There is someone who's not as far along in the faith as you are. There are people in your life for whom that is the case. And you can just say, hey, so-and-so, come on. Let's meet and read the scriptures. Ask them if they're willing to do that. Let's get together and have dinner, and let's just invite some friends over and spend some time. It can be that simple. I mean, that's part of the process. This doesn't have to be some official training program. I'm not asking you to run a class. But you can be about the business of training other people as well. We had a plumber come yesterday. We got a new water heater. And the plumber, he had an apprentice. And it was actually the apprentice who did all the work. The plumber just sat there and watched the apprentice do the work and then checked it, make sure it was okay. The plumber was training the apprentice. I talked to the apprentice. Said, how long you been working for Dwayne? Dwayne was the name of the plumber. He said, I've been with him for a year now. I said, oh, okay.